Christ, and I never take for granted the opportunity you give me to preach the gospel. As always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along. I don't want you to take my word for that matter. Don't take any man's word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. This morning's lesson is entitled, Searching for the New Testament Church. What I'm about to tell you this morning is that there is no other church and or religious organizations in all the world that can describe and or identify itself by using God's divine word as I'm about to do. I challenge anyone to try. First of all, I want to introduce you to my fictitious, an imaginary friend named Jim, who came from a Catholic family steeped in tradition and was a Catholic for 28 years. Jim's wife, Ethel, was converted to Catholicism when they married because of the love Jim had for the Catholic Church. Ethel's father was a deacon in the Baptist Church. The priest had been telling him for years that you common people cannot understand the Bible. Lie number one. Let's look at what God says. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 3, Having by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I have wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Being the traditional Catholic, Jim and Ethel had a huge family Bible on their display in their living room coffee table. On Jim's 38th birthday, Ethel gave him a hand Bible. Jim was touched deep in his soul. She had given him God's word, the truth. Remember, Jesus says, Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17:17. Jim's reply to Ethel, Well, if it's worth giving, it's worth studying. He said, so let's study the Bible. It became clear very soon that the Catholic teachings conflicted with the Word of God. Look with me at what Paul told the Romans, if you would, in Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 3, For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now Ethel and Jim taught a sacraments class to young children. Penance was one of the sacraments. They went to the parish priest and told him they no longer wanted to preach or teach penance because 1 Timothy 2:5, which says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. The priest said, Okay. As you can imagine, they were confused by his answer. The priest then told Jim, he said, Jim, what if we're doing all these religious things and there is no God? Jim and Ethel had the blind leading the blind and were headed for the ditch, as Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, when he said, Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Most of us know that Catholics also forbade, or they used to, I think they still do, of eating meats on Friday and forbidding the priest and the nuns to marry. Is this really what the Scripture says? Well, let's look at what Paul says about this in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So the Catholic Church fulfilled that prophecy that Paul made there. Now look at Matthew, the sixth chapter, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. Be going to a lot of different verses this morning. Matthew 6. Of course, as we know, Catholics say the rosary and repeated this prayer and calling man Father. So our Lord says in Matthew 6 and verse 7 these words. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. Don't use repetitions as they do, as the Catholics do. If you read in Matthew the 23rd chapter and verse 9, look at what Jesus says. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Just the opposite of what the Catholics teach and preach. Now turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. As Jim and Ethel continued to study God's Word, they could see that God speaks through His Son Jesus today, not some Catholic priest. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He said He hath in these last days. Well, we are living in the last days, brethren. We are in the last days. How does he speak to us? Speaks to us by His Son, Jesus, whom He has appointed heir of all things, who made all the worlds. Very puzzled and upset, Jim and Ethel continued to search for the New Testament church. They began to study with the Methodists. And there they found a social gospel. Lie number two. The Methodists didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ. Was that what the Word of God says? Look with me at Luke the 24th chapter. Luke the 24th chapter. Jesus, after appearing to the 11 in Jerusalem, after His resurrection, mind you, who were terrified, and they said in verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, He said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. Brethren, this was after the resurrection. So the Methodists are wrong about the bodily resurrection as they are about everything else that they teach. Look at Romans chapter 6 with me. Romans 6. Now, baptism didn't matter to the Methodists either. They would sprinkle, pour, or immerse for baptism. Whatever pleases you. But look what Paul said in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, that we who were, verse 3, baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Paul goes on to say in verse 4, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Not sprinkled, not poured, but buried. Methodists have it wrong. Jim and Ethel are now really confused as they continue their search for the New Testament church. They look to the Lutheran church. Lie number three. The Lutherans were just another form of Catholicism, as was the Episcopalians, which already conflicted with God's Word. In John 14:5, Thomas said unto the Lord, unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Jim and Ethel didn't know what to do, and they couldn't find the New Testament church in the Pentecostals because they did not believe in the plurality of the Godhead. Lie number four. Look with me at 2 John 9. Familiar passage to all of us. 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son, the Godhead. The Pentecostal said you had to speak in tongues to be saved. What does Paul say about this? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Paul says, charity or love never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. What did you say, Paul? Speaking in tongues shall cease. That's what the New Testament says. So again, the Pentecostals are wrong. As Jim and Ethel traveled through the denominational world seeking the New Testament church, they now turn to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Lie number 5. Very soon they discovered that Jehovah's Witness had their faith in earthly headquarters in a watchtower society and not in heaven. Just for your information, the Jehovah's Witness headquarters is in America, where it was founded in 1872 by a man named Charles T. Russell. They also believed Jesus was a created being. They believe that baptism was not commanded as immediate, like the Bible examples we find in Acts 22 and verse 16. Remember what Ananias told Saul what to do? He says, arise, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Also the jailer and his whole family were baptized the very hour in the middle of the night when they believed the gospel. That's in Acts 16. So our next stop is to the Assembly of God. Lie number 6. This couldn't be a New Testament church, for they had no first day of the week Lord's Supper. Remember Acts 20 and verse 7, which Danny quoted this morning. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, when did they do it? On the first day of the week. How many first days a week we have? One every week. Every week we have a first day. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. They also had musical instruments in worship. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's no instrumental music mentioned here. No instrumental music. They also had no water baptism for salvation. However, the inspired Apostle Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. So Assembly of God's church cannot be the New Testament church. They found lie number 7 in the Presbyterian church. I wish you'd turn with me to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation 22. Presbyterians were just another social gospel. That's all they are. Only a chosen few would be saved, they said. They believe in predestination. However, the Word of God says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The bride here symbolizes the church. And him that heareth are the individual members of the church. God does not force anyone to obey the gospel. We all have a free will. Lie number 8. The Baptist Church, the largest Protestant denomination church in all the world. They preached to Jim and Ethel that salvation is by faith only and the baptism is not essential for salvation. That's why they're the largest denomination in the world. Once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter what you do after you're saved. Once saved, always saved. Jesus in your heart, you're saved forever. You can't do anything to be lost. They say. Everybody leaves with a good feeling, always, because they know they're saved, according to the Baptist preacher. But let's see what James says in James 2 and verse 24. James says in chapter 2 and verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." What'd you say, James? Not by faith only. Only place in the scriptures where the faith and only are used together. He goes on to say in verse 26 of James 2, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works," or you may substitute the word obedience there for works, same thing. "Faith without works is dead also." Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. As far as baptism is concerned, Jim and Ethel took the inspired Peter's word instead of the Baptist preacher's word, because Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 these words. They're hard to misunderstand. "The like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us." What does baptism do? It saves us, he says. "Not the putting away of the flesh, filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Jim and Ethel are becoming more and more confused, and now they turn to the Mormon church. Lie number 9. The Mormons had to be married in the temple in order to be together and be married in heaven. Married in heaven? Is this what Matthew 22 says? Look with me at Matthew 22 and verse 24 through 30. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 24. Saying, "Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the 7th, and last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they all had her." Listen now what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." Not knowing the scriptures. That's the problem with the world today. They don't know the scriptures. "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." These are words straight from the mouth of King Jesus. There'll be no marriage in heaven. And the Mormons also believed in storing up a supply of food for a year or two. But if you remember on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34, he stresses the matter of priority. I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, if you would. He kind of summarizes the matter all up right here in verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. By seeing God through God's eyes, we establish the right priorities. The spiritual insight and foresight results in our putting first things first when we should be thrilled in doing so. It's just the opposite of the Mormon belief. Turn to 2 Timothy 3. Mormons have a lot of problems, and this is another one of them. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Mormons also use the Book of Mormon as their guide and not the New Testament. However, Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, through inspiration, mind you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So who was Jim and Ethel to believe? Paul or the Book of Mormon? But now, though, by now, baptism was weighing heavy on the hearts of Jim and Ethel. One day, Jim went to work and stayed in a trance all day. He was functioning, but he couldn't think of anything else but baptism. When he went home that night, Ethel could see the puzzled look on his face, and after explaining the situation, she said she had the same feeling towards baptism and towards salvation. The two wanted to be scripturally baptized, but they didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. So Jim called a gospel preacher of a local Church of Christ. Jim and Ethel had been listening from time to time on a religious talk show on the radio called Bible Talk. What impressed these two about this man above all others they had listened to is what he said. He said, if I can't give you book, chapter, and verse, well then don't listen to me. Everything we do is by book, chapter, and verse. We don't have book, chapter, and verse, we don't do it. He said he spoke where the Bible spoke, and is silent where the Bible is silent. Now Jim and Ethel are more interested, and they invited the preacher and another preacher to come over to study on Super Bowl Sunday of all days. Of course, they were sure these two preachers wouldn't give up watching the Super Bowl for just a little old Bible study. But you know what? They did come. And after about an hour of Bible study on baptism, false teaching in John 2:9, and Jim and Ethel knew their souls were in jeopardy. They were invited to worship with them at 6 o'clock that evening, only just minutes away. Within an hour, Jim and Ethel obeyed God, and they were immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and added to the church by God Himself. Jim and Ethel had found the New Testament church that they so desperately searched for. But there's more to the story. What did Jim and Ethel give up? First, family. They gave up family. Come with me to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verses 34, through 38. And listen to what Jesus says about this. Verse 34. Think not I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So they gave up their family. They also gave up their friends. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. First Peter chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4. Forasmuch then, as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That's Christians. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of the men, but the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, for we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Listen now. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They gave up their friends, and they gave up their family to become a child of God. Now, Jim was an extraordinary minister that assisted the priest in worship. Jim and Ethel had a son 2 years in the seminary studying to be a Catholic priest. They were a team couple who gave marriage encounter weekends to married couple. They had a personal working relationship with every priest in the southeast part of the states where they lived, and even some in other cities and states. Jim and Ethel had an audience monthly with a bishop on the diocesan board. Many young people, young and old, looked up to them religiously as lay leaders. So what did they do? Jim and Ethel gave it all up for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, just as our brother the Apostle Paul said in Acts 23 and verse 1 and Philippians 3 verses 3 through 8. First, I want you to turn with me to Acts 23. Acts 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now let's close the lesson by looking at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Was it worth it for Jim and Ethel? What do you think? Well, let's turn to John 14 and see what our Lord Jesus says. John the 14th chapter. In John the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, It is worth it. He said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Jim and Ethel were added by the Lord to the Church of Christ, which is a group of men and women who have been converted to Christ. This conversion began with a complete change of heart from the love and practice of sin to the submission to the law of God. Those in the churches of Christ were led to believe in Christ by the preaching of the gospel of Christ, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. This faith leads us to a sorrow for sin, a regret that is sincere and unfeigned, and this godly sorrow works repentance. Without genuine repentance, you cannot be saved, for Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. The Church of Christ gladly confesses that it believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, and before one is scripturally baptized, he makes that statement in Acts 8:36-38. This confession is ordered for salvation, Romans 10:10. The Church of Christ is composed of men and women who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, Romans 6:3. Baptism is for the remission of sins, we're plainly told in Acts 2:38. And it is in this act that one becomes a member of the one body over which Jesus is the head and of which he is the Savior. The Church of Christ assembles on the first day of the week to break bread, just as it did in the New Testament days, and as we did this morning, and we do every Sunday morning. Upon the first day of the week, we contribute or lay by and store of our money according to our prosperity for the carrying of the word of truth to the world and for the caring of the poor and needy saints. The public worship of Christ, of the Church of Christ, consists of congregational singing of gospel hymns, preaching the gospel, praying the Lord's Supper, and contributing sacrifice to the Lord. The Church of Christ bears her own burdens and does not ask people who are not members of the church to pay her obligations or to support the church. That obligation rests upon the members only. So when you visit the Church of Christ, you will find worship after the New Testament pattern, simple and sincere. Churches of Christ recognize no creed but Christ, have no discipline or rules but the inspired Word of God. Members wear no name but the divine given name, Christians. And you will find that you have very greatest welcome at all services too. So my friends, if you too are like Jim and Ethel, searching for the New Testament church, look no further, because you have found it. If you're not a Christian and you want to become a member of the New Testament church, you need to come forward as we sing the invitation song, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. You too then will be added to the New Testament church by the Lord Himself, and you'll be on that road that leads to heaven. There may be some here this morning who have been unfaithful. Maybe you've sinned in a manner others are aware of. If you have, you can take care of that this morning by coming.